Hello, this is Kelly Logan, the numerology matchmaker. Am I on the air? I hope. I'm sorry we're having technical difficulties. I hope I am. Is Barry there? Barry, are you there?
I am, yes.
Hi, Barry. Sorry, we
Hi.
Had some major technical difficulties in this. We're like 7 minutes in, and I hope I didn't lose anybody. I do apologize for anyone who was holding or trying to listen. It just wasn't working, and I lost my Skype. Everything messed up, but I'm here now. Well, welcome, Barry. Thank you for joining me on the show. I'm so sorry.
My pleasure.
Well, what I wanted to talk about was today, this is Numerology Matchmaker. I'm here every Thursday night. I'm glad that we're through, so I hope we still have some listeners or they can catch us on the archives. If you have not been here before, you can catch some other shows on the archives as well at soulsignalradio.com. And I talk about numerology and relationships. So I would love to invite my guest, Barry. He's here with me right now. And he is a relationship transformation expert and gap closure specialist. He is a passionate catalyst for powerful and profound romance, authentic relationships, and expressing our gifts all around the world. Barry, could you give us a little rundown? I got your little thing is talking about you now, but you also wrote a book. So can you give us a little bit more information about you and what got you started and where you came from?
Certainly. As people discover very quickly, my accent is English, is where I'm from, but I've lived in the United States for just over 30 years. And along that journey, both in England and here, I had more than my fair share, as I'm biased, of dysfunctional and unsuccessful relationships. And truthfully, I didn't have a clue. Looking back, I can see my history, and as much as I love my family and my upbringing, and certainly didn't find in school any lessons or education about relationships. And particularly for the last 6-7 years, although I've done plenty of journey, plenty of learning along the way for many years, the last 6 or 7 have been specifically relationship-centric. Learning things about the way the masculine and feminine work together in a relationship that works more effectively. And it's changed my life completely and, in fact, really birthed this work for me to speak from, to coach, to teach, to share.
So about 6 or 7 years ago, you were mostly got into learning everything, if I heard you correctly?
Well, actually, no. To be honest, actually, been over 30 years. I've been on the personal growth and transformational journey for many years, but the last 6 or 7 were specifically about the masculine and feminine paradigm. That's one of the pieces I didn't have in my vocabulary because I had understood about our inner journey, heart, consciousness. I have a master's degree in spiritual psychology. I've been a licensed spiritual counselor for 13 years.
Wow.
However, along that journey, the piece that was missing, based on my history, was the way that we can be most authentic in our masculine and femininity, which is something I talk about a lot in my work and I'm very passionate about.
Awesome. Well, in same as I talked to you earlier, I was talking to you about the same thing as me. When I got into numerology, I was not doing well with relationships and I couldn't figure them out. So I started studying numerology so I can understand relationships. And I've failed miserably and not done very well at it. So I love the fact that you're here to share with us some information, kind of gives us the other side of you. Because I've had a lot of people on my show before, love coaches and experts in different fields. And I've only received mostly the feminine side, so it was really nice being able to hear the masculine side of it as well. And we talked a little bit about that on the phone today when you were saying that how the man works or how the male thinks as far as relationships and their life. Could you explain that a little bit more? Because it was really interesting to me about the difference in the women and how we think and men and how y'all think.
Yes, indeed. I should also pre-qualify by saying two of my favorite teachers that I borrow from are David Data and Alison Armstrong. And that's where a lot of the languaging I use comes from as well, because it was so resonant for me where I didn't have it before. My history, just to put some traction underneath what I'm talking about, was that for the last probably 15, no, in 10, 15 years, I was dating or in a relationship with women who were more masculine than I was, but I didn't know it at the time.
Wow.
And many women have learned to function in the business world from that male point of view, because that's the way the business world is established. You know, to be competitive in this world we call business and commerce and the corporate world, women will be more successful if they emulate the male, which is what the feminist movement created.
Right.
And so the way that we have been trained to relate is different than what we naturally do. So to back up to the natural state, and we'll talk about the transition later, the way I describe it best is that women and men are, for a start, we're very visual, we're different how we see things. Men are more linear and more like one step at a time. We're very good at getting goals and completions and success and fixing things and getting results. That's not the feminine way. The feminine way is more inclusive of everything in life, experiencing the journey. You would imagine you'd say that when someone says, "Stop and smell the roses," that was a woman. Because a man's like, gotta get to the destination, gotta get to the destination, ignore the roses, let's get to the destination.
Right.
That's the difference in simple way between masculine and feminine.
Well, that's interesting, because I've actually spoke to somebody before in a previous show about women in the men's world. And my job, I'm compete or you, I need to uphold to a certain amount. But then what I was wondering all the time was, how do we turn that off when we come home? So when we come home from being that person, we're so used to being that person that we come home. But what was interesting enough, in my last relationship, I would actually come home and be the opposite of what I was. So it's really interesting, and in not even realizing that we do that. I guess it's getting in tune with who we are all together, and that's still what I'm trying to figure out, obviously. But when you were with women that you noticed that were more masculine, it's because they didn't have the capability of being more feminine, or it's just naturally who they were all the time. I mean, that's kind of interesting that said that. So,
well, I would say, just from my looking back, now I can't speak for them individually. If I can, because we're still friends, and we talk. This is 10 years later. We've been talking, and it's interesting how we've both done quite a lot of work since we were together, and we're much more friends now than we ever were. And the conversation was interesting, because back then, I would say all three of them had different reasons for being masculine than from each other. In one instance, one was actually a widow of 5 years with two young kids, so she had to learn how to wear both the mom and the dad hat in the family, because she was a solo parent. And it took a lot of work on, because she had to take care of an estate and all these other things that were not really what a feminine energy would be. At the same time, she was the nurturer. So it made a very interesting relationship dance between us when she was going through that. In one of the other instances, a relationship I had, she was also getting divorced. But the way I described it is, her husband and I were very similar, actually. And what she was attracted to me was similar to what she'd had before. But what she wanted was different from both of us. And what she really wanted was an overtly, not masculine, but macho guy, to basically force her out of that role. It was interesting looking back to see, at least through my view, how that was lined up. And at that point in the relationships, none of the women I was experiencing this process with had an understanding either of the authentic masculine, authentic feminine, which is a next level of evolution, if you want to put it that way, how it can be in a relationship.
Well, I guess balancing it would not be good, because a lot of times women think that they would want the macho man, but then they want them to be understanding the feminine. So I would sit and say, well, this man is more in touch with his feminine side, you know, and I've heard some men say that, you know, I'm actually in touch with my feminine side. So wouldn't it be good to have a balance of the two? And do you teach that, or is that something that you think would be good for a relationship?
Well, the truth is that we don't stay 100% in one or the other. In simple terms, for example, when we're both, if husband and wife are at home doing the bills, they're both in the masculine. It's task completion. But when there's a baby involved, both the husband and wife could be in the feminine, in that nurturing energy. So it's not like we're only one or the other, first of all. Second part is that in the paradigm of the polarity, attraction, chemistry, sexuality, that's where ideally the masculine feminine is strongest, in that attraction being so different. If you imagine like magnets, if you imagine the north and south poles of magnets being like the masculine feminine relationship, if you have two magnets, North and North don't attract. North and South do, so the masculine and feminine are very attracted to each other. But you put these magnets in a drawer for a while, a period of time those magnets will start to lose their attraction for each other. And that's what happens in relationships when the polarity dissipates and it becomes buddies. And that's like best friends with no benefits. Yeah.
Right. That's very interesting to even think about it that way. Wow.
Yeah, because the thing is, and the good news about that is, like a magnet, so if you take them apart and put them back in their natural state, the masculine feminine polarity can be recharged once you become aware of it. So, as I put it, chemistry can be reignited when we choose to do certain things. And it can be simple things, and we're going off track slightly, but if, for example, if each partner went away with their kindred spirits, like if the guys went away and played football with the guys for a week, you know, for a weekend, went camping with the boys for the weekend, and she went to the spa with her girls for a weekend, when you come back together after the weekend, there'll be a different level of attraction to each other because you've reconnected back to your natural state. And that can be very powerful and profound.
That's
but
interesting.
Simple things that can make that. Yeah. So I was going to answer your question earlier. I realized I missed the question you started with. I'm talking about, I want to try and cover this with effective, you know, language so it makes sense. You're talking about if women want a man who's in touch with their feminine side. And that sort of balance. The key thing I'm watching, because I think you said something earlier that triggered this for me, there's a difference between macho and masculine. And macho is kind of like, if you cast your mind back many, many years to All in the Family with Archie Bunker and Edith Bunker, the male role in that model, in that comedy, and that was the paradigm at that time, was a very macho guy. Like, you know, got big balls but no heart, or closed down or hidden heart. A masculine male, by comparison, has a very strong spine in the direction and a very solid presence about him, but also a lot of compassion and open heart to be in the space for nurturing that, the tenderness of a feminine. So it's not much, so macho and masculine are very different in that context. And it's also shifting the paradigm from a codependent paradigm to an interdependent paradigm where we both love being together, but we don't have to have each other to survive.
Interesting. So how do I get that?
Because
you know everyone's saying that. How do I get that?
Well, the first thing is that we got to really start cleaning up house at home.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's like so easy to say, you know, go online to the dating services and sign up with those and get a match, you'll be fine. No. I don't agree with that personally. There's a lot more to the picture. And part of that is it's vital that we don't carry our baggage from the past into our present relationship because, and I talk about this in my videos and in my book and in everything I talk about, is that we don't always realize that we are using an autopilot in our consciousness. We have accumulated over the years a memory bank of what relationships are like based upon our history, and it does include usually our upbringing as kids. So we have this model of what the paradigm relationship will be like, particularly for what our parents did, not for what they said necessarily, for what they did. So that becomes our template for what we're attracted to. So even though we may say we're looking for this sort of person who looks like this, does this, and everything else, our autopilot, which is really our unconscious or subconscious, is drawing to us somebody who may fit the visual appearance of what we think we want, but guaranteed carries within them the patterns and the habits that will match what we're looking for unconsciously. So, for example, If, for example, a woman was raised in a family when she was a girl where her dad was always at work and she felt abandoned by him because he was never around, she may then go on to unconsciously have a mate who will abandon her, whether it's they're always at work or they watch TV all the time or they're drinking or whatever it is where they're feeling neglected.
Yeah.
So that's a paradigm that many of us create without realizing it. And until we resolve that and frankly heal it, we can't release the baggage, and that becomes an overriding automatic pilot to attract what we don't want.
I think you just explained my relationship exactly. To a T. Anyway,
well, that wasn't painful.
But interesting enough, when you wake up and you realize, oh no, I married my father, that's kind of the where I'm at right now. So the same scenario, which is exactly similar to what you described, is what I've done in my life, and twice. So I don't want to do that anymore. So I think I'm awake more consciously now.
Right.
Okay, so I definitely need your book, right? And what else?
And coach, I would say, certainly my coaching, I'm not going to hold back on my skills. But the truth is that being aware of it is the heart of the battle. The fact you're aware of this now is a huge step forward. So you're already a long way down the road. My book is not a therapeutic book. It's actually, and I should mention the title, it's called 50 Ways to Love Your Lover. And it's 50 relationship principles that will make or break a relationship. It's not a book on therapy. It's a book with reference material. And each chapter is pretty short. They're only, I'd say, what, 3, 4, 5, 10, 6 pages each at most, because they are just to get a point across. And there's 50 principles I recommend. If you read one a day, you'll change your relationship in a year, or in fact in less than 2 months. But it's that paradigm understanding of what's different, right? It's the understanding what's different that would shift things. And some things to talk about are so simple, yet so obvious. And just throw a couple of examples out. One of the chapters I talk about in the book is early in the relationship, I recommend going away together. It sounds romantic, which is good, but the truth is that when you go away together to somewhere unfamiliar, you're both out of your familiar waters.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is you get to know who each other really is, and you'll very quickly know, is this the person I want to be with? And for some people, that's, yes, it is. And for some people, it is, oh, no. But especially the early relationship rather than later, because then you can choose from that place of knowing.
Mm-hmm.
So as I say, the book is filled to the brim, as it were, with different concepts and ideas that will help you, choose and understand differently in a relationship.
So even if you're in a relationship or not in one, correct?
Yes, I do talk about in the book several places about the masculine and feminine, as I mentioned earlier. And I actually have a couple of chapters that are specifically for a man about his woman and a woman about her man. That will be very helpful if you're already in a relationship. And if you're not, you'll learn this ahead of time. But they're very useful. And in fact, one chapter in particular, I talk about how sometimes romance wanes and it becomes kind of flat, because we're used to the idea of romance being red roses and dinner. And that's all we have in our framework of romance. And so I actually have one chapter in my book I talk about literally saying, go online and do a web search for romance and how to. I'm being very blunt in the chapter intentionally, because people forget it's so easy to go online and find ideas. And if you're even lazier than that, I offer, as a link in the book, a free handout with 40-something ideas for romantic things to do. It's a 60-page handout that comes in that you can get as well. So it's from the simple to the powerful principles that will help you have a healthy relationship. And truth is, there's more, I'm sure, that I haven't touched yet, but 50 is a good start.
Yeah, that's a pretty good start. 50 is a good number.
So it came out.
Well, in your healing the relationships.
Yes.
So since the difference, because we all seem to be marrying our parents, or because that's comfortable, is what we know. So you talk about the relationships that we did. So how are we changing them now? So if this is what we've always done, how are they evolving and changing now?
Right. Well, first of all, I want to say one thing, because there are certain cases where the relationship with parents, or the parents' relationship, was actually so good. If they do marry someone like their parents, it's actually a good thing, but that's rare. Most of the time, it's a dysfunctional thing that we're growing through.
Right.
But the way through it is, first of all, it's. I'm giving you very broad strokes here, because I do a lot more work in depth with clients, and you can do some therapy too, is it requires an honest look at your relationship as a child with your parents, and about a relationship you believe to be the way parents should be. One of the wake-up calls I had, just to share from personal experience, my parents were together 59 years. My mum passed away around for her 59th anniversary last year. And what I grew up with was parents that never argued. That's the way I remember it. And so my early dating life in my teens and 20s would be wonderfully euphoric. Wonderful time, connection, intimacy, great stuff, sex was wonderful. And then there'd be one argument and I'd leave.
Okay.
Because I didn't understand that loving and arguments could go together. I didn't have a clue about makeup sex, of course.
Missed out.
No, but the truth is that I didn't know that. So I figured if there was an argument, there must be there's no loving left, because that's the way I had it wired, because I didn't experience arguments in my family. So we all have our own baggage to carry, but until we know what it is and we choose then to heal it, which basically comes back to simply watching what we've believed is true and changing our beliefs. And some of that comes through forgiveness, because sometimes it's very ingrained and there's pain associated with it. So I work with clients to forgive and to make peace with their past so they can move forward clean into the future.
Well, it's interesting, because years ago, when I was a kid, there was divorce was just, you don't do that. You know, my parents don't believe in divorce. They never have.
Right.
So they're still together over 50 years, you know. I don't feel that they're happily together, you know, but they're still together.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that, but
right.
Well, so now that we're changing, so now the divorce is at an all-time high, and everyone pretty much, I believe that maybe every single relationship that we do have is a lesson getting us to that next step, to not doing the first step anymore. Would you agree?
I said a question again. I'm just clarifying what you said.
Okay, so when my parents didn't believe in divorce. They're in the same relationship they've been in for over 50 years. Well, of
right.
course, you now that divorce is all-time high, I see more and more people getting in marriages, and then they're actually leaving them, then staying in them for over 50 years when they're not healthy. And then you may get into another relationship, and then, like I have, and then eventually I'm like, okay, I get it. I understand it now. Now that I've had these relationships, I know what I'm doing wrong. So as far as evolving goes and divorce, now currently going through, it's more accepted, and people are now, maybe their third or later marriages, do you believe that they're finally getting it later on? Because from my point of view, I'm seeing that hopefully by then you might have the successful relationship that you're looking for after you've gotten rid of all the baggage from the very beginning.
I would say yes, but the thing is that I can't speak globally for people. I wouldn't dare do that, because too many people have different choices and different lifestyles. However, some people tend to go from relationship to relationship and will, in fact, get married again and again and still not change. And in your
That's
case,
true.
It sounds like you've already got an understanding now, which means your intention is different now, which is a good shift.
I hope so, and I hope I can recognize it.
Yeah,
to be conscious, I'm a little scared. I have to tell you. You know, the thought of doing that again just scares me half to death. You know, because I'm like, I'm not doing that again. Yeah.
Right.
Do you get women that are, or men that are in the same position as me currently saying, what do I do? You know, how do I not do this again? And they're kind of desperate to the point of most people, some people even, don't ever date again or keep everyone at bay, I guess you would say.
Yeah. And that's the saddest thing for me to watch. I mean, part of my mission is about helping people have healthy relationships, because I believe we all deserve that. And so people choose out because they're afraid or they've been burnt too many times. To be honest, some people are so distressed that I recommend them go see a therapist first anyway, because I realize there's more healing to be done and more trauma to be resolved before I even work with them. But
right.
most people, I work with actually, we're working with some couples and singles. And sometimes for me, it's interesting. A recent couple I'm working with, which is not my normal. Normally, I'm working with single women, couples, and with men too. Recently, I was working with a couple, working with the male part of the couple. And what was clear is, and I think I mentioned this briefly earlier on, about how we are, as men, are directional. And one of my mistakes, as it were, in my past relationships, is that I didn't have clear direction about what I was about, who I was, what I was up to in the world. And I fall in love with somebody, and she would end up being dominant because I wasn't in my masculine. And one of the things that's key for masculine men is to have purpose in our lives first. And because we are linear, as in we do things more sequentially, unlike women that can multitask, we must make that purpose solid in us. Now, it can be as simple as our purpose is to discover our purpose. So it may be for somebody who's younger or hasn't really clarified what they're about. So their mission, their purpose, their passion is to discover what they're about and what they're up to. That's good. But when we have reason for being, why we're here. For one thing, it's way more attractive to women when there's a man who has clarity and direction and vision in his life versus some laid-back, wishy-washy type guy.
Right.
But the truth is, by having that, it realigns us back to our truth. And for a woman, she can then let go of trying to control things or make things happen a certain way because she can trust his masculinity is authentic. And for a lot of women in relationship, that's one of the biggest things, is they haven't been able to trust the men that are around because the men haven't been authentic.
Right. That's interesting.
Oh, good.
That makes a lot of sense. Because I'll naturally notice in, for being a woman or a mother and a manager or something like that, I'll naturally, if I feel that someone's lacking, I just naturally take over. You know, it's just a natural instinct. I got this, you know. So I can see that. I can see me doing that in a relationship.
Most women have that gift. Yes, I went through that with several relationships myself, right, and seeing that happen to me, so I know what it feels like.
So is that a gift or a curse?
we need to
let you take over, correct? So you're telling me is...
How do I say it?
Oh, something's wrong. I'm for some reason, I'm not hearing you well.
And let it take over and grow it. Can you hear me okay now?
A little bit, yes.
Okay.
I've had a rough day.
Apparently technology's been playing games. Okay, can you hear me okay now?
Yes, I can.
Good. Okay. So getting back to the question in hand, because we were tracked for a second there. So that's the other thing I want to say. One of the challenges of being a masculine is that we are linear. So, for example, when the woman comes home towards talk to her husband and he's watching TV, he won't hear a word she's saying until the TV is out of his focus. So we as men require, I'm not saying intervention, I don't want to put it that way, please. But if a woman wants to communicate with a man, it's good for them to say, okay, let's set up a time when we do this when there's no distractions. Now, women can handle distractions generally more easily because they can multitask. We as men, I notice myself, the more I do this work, the more challenging in some ways it is to be able to do more than one thing at once. So if I'm having a conversation with somebody, that's the thing about the cell phone technology is really interesting lately with the smartphones and all the Facebook and Twitter and everything else we're checking. It's hard for men to carry on an authentic conversation with a woman when that's in the way. The challenge is for us is that women can do it effortlessly, it seems, because women are naturally ability to handle 17 things at once.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth about us is that, Ben, is that we are strongest when we're aligned with one thing, which is ourselves.
Wow. Well, that makes sense, too.
I'm glad I'm making sense.
Yeah, it's wonderful sense. Thank you. So when one question about online dating, does that work? Do you believe it
to
work?
This is interesting. Well,
the question
one of the things I learned from Alison Armstrong, actually, she talks about this, and I love how she puts it, that the online dating, the traditional way, which is match.com type thing, and the online dating systems that way, is really a male practice, a masculine practice. Because the way she puts it, which I understand, is that online dating is like a sorting system. It's going through literally going, are you the one? Are you the one? Are you the one? And those men scan through the pictures. They're literally going, will she fit? Will she be the right one? That sort of thing. Now, the thing is, women have been trained to do the same because online dating works both ways, for men and for women. So online dating is good for men because as hunters, as we naturally are, we are seeking targets, which are the pictures on the online dating. So by doing that, it's a good thing for men to have, to be able to see and view and then find what they're looking for. But for the women, being the feminine and receptive, it's not really ideal for them to go hunting around for different guys because they can do that. But by doing that, they're putting themselves into the masculine mindset again, which means they may be forcing the men they find into the feminine because there's only room for so much masculinity and femininity in a relationship.
Wow. I would have never thought about it that way. Yeah.
Well, the thing is, the way I would phrase it is that in a relationship, and this is one of the things I talk about, relationships, they used to say we're 50-50. Wrong answer. Relationships to me are 100-100 because you can't be half yourself and find the other person to make you perfectly whole, because that's then it's like half you's missing. So relationship, right, which means that very, very few people on the planet are 100% masculine, 100% feminine, because that's actually dysfunctional. And in fact, people who are 50% masculine, 50% feminine don't get relationships because they're basically homogenous. They don't have any, or androgynous, I think is the right word, sorry, androgynous. They don't have any attraction for a relationship. So men and women who are attracted to a relationship, and this is gay or straight, have a balance of masculine and femininity in their natural residing place. So a man would be could be something like 70% masculine, 30% feminine, or maybe 80% masculine, 20% feminine. A woman would be the inverse of that. She would be 70% feminine and 30% masculine by her natural state. Now, again, as I said earlier, that can change as the need arises and the task that's being done can handle. For example, in you know, if it's a trauma situation, it may require everybody on board to become masculine to get the task done. And it's irrelevant what your natural state is. You'll step into that if you need to. But then some people don't. They revert into a different way, which is more avoiding of that. But anyway, that's a whole other conversation. So the balance point is in relationships is that we will be attracted to our reciprocal in the masculine-feminine balance. So, for example, if I say I'm 70% masculine, 30% feminine, I'm more attracted to a woman who is 70% feminine, 100% masculine, because we will fit together and make 100% masculine, 100% feminine together.
Mm-hmm.
So if I meet a woman who's 60% masculine, 40% feminine, I probably won't find her that attractive in sexual polarity-wise. And that's kind of one of the keys as well, is that understanding what your natural balance is, you'll find your reciprocal in the opposite sex. Well, that's the gender, depending if you're gay or straight, yes.
But how do you recognize that?
It's not something you can. You don't walk around with badges on. It's instinctual. It's a feeling level.
Okay. So you know? What are you, 70-30? What are you, you see me? How do you find that?
One of the benefits of being feminine is you have incredible gifts of sensitivity, intuition, and inner trust and guidance, which frankly I feel envious of, because even though I've got a fairly good developed intuition, it's nothing like as good as most women have naturally in them, because that's the feminine gift. So you'll be more sensitive to where a man is, probably more than he is, which is one of the fun things about this whole dating thing, is that you'll be recognizing in a man where he is, then he will have a clue, because we don't have sensitivity, you do.
Interesting. Well, most men don't want to be vulnerable. That makes me feel like the thought that they may feel vulnerable, if we do recognize that, and they may not, would that make them feel vulnerable?
Well, it depends, because I would say advanced male or man will be comfortable being vulnerable, but he won't live there. So he'll have the sensitive side, but he also knows that it's okay to have a woman he can trust to see that. That, for me, is the evolution of relationship to the next level, where we have that as a strength, not a weakness.
Which sounds like a successful relationship.
That would be my vision, yes.
So we understand, okay, so as far as the online dating goes, that's very interesting. I would have never thought of it that way. And I do know that so many people, everyone has their computers and everyone doesn't, the thought of going out, like where would you go meet people? You know, if someone wasn't doing online dating, what would you suggest for people to meet people?
Yeah, well, I'm not a big fan of clubs and dancing, which is a lot, obviously, if you're 20-something, maybe it would work.
Right.
Truth is, yeah, I would say that from, and I think it's one of the chapters in my book, I talk about this too. It's best for, basically, what do you love to do? If you love horseback riding, or if you love feeding the homeless, or if you love collecting stamps, it's like find what your passion and your love you do socially is and go do it. It's quite likely, not only, but quite likely you'll find some of the environment, because for a start, you'll be in your joy. You'll be doing something you love to do and it'll be showing on your face and in your energy. So it'll be likely that if you meet somebody in that environment, you'll first of all have a common interest, and secondly, you'll be in the most attractive state. Now, there are also, you know, blind dates and friends helping out friends and social gatherings too, but it's about being naturally authentic in who you are and for every situation, and I'm kind of passionate about this myself, the more real and honest you can be in yourself, the more attracted you're going to be to someone who you can be with, because it's much easier to be real with somebody than to keep stacking up all these constructs of what you think they want from you, or the masks and the illusions.
Exactly. And that's why I got into numerologymatch.com, because I felt that you could be your authentic self, because so much online dating that you see people, that's not even, you're making up a profile, you're not who you are, you're not your authentic self. And numerology, I use that as a tool to find out exactly who you are on a personal level. And using that, finding someone who matches you on true compatibility is definitely a good start. So I guess
yes.
If you're going to be using online dating, I think that finding someone who where you can be authentically yourself is always a good start.
Absolutely.
Yeah. and also, I got your birthday earlier, and I did your numbers for you.
Uh-huh.
And
yes.
What's interesting, and what's interesting is with numerology. I don't know if anyone's talked to you about numerology before, have they?
I've heard bits and pieces along the way, so I'm always open to learning more because I'm not an expert myself.
Well, you're a 32-5 is your life path, which is exactly what mine is as well. And the
uh-huh.
five, I don't know if anyone ever told you this, but the five is the freedom number and change. So the five likes to learn everything that we can. We get our hands on, just kind of similar to what you and I both do. And we like to
yeah.
share it. So through media, through the radio, books, that's another way to express. But any way that you can express what you've learned. So we dissect everything all the way as far as it'll go until we completely wrap our brain around it, then we love to share it. But the five loves to change. We love to start things, many things, lots of things, I guess. And people are actually attracted to us as far as being witty or fun, you know, because truthfully, if it's not fun, we don't really want to do it most of the time.
Yes, agreed.
So, agreed. And that's the five usually hear us on radio, too, so it's a media number. But you also have a seven, so you were born on the 7 day, and seven is
yeah.
spirituality. So spirituality is very, very important to you as well. So that explains
yes.
who you are all the way in a nutshell. And there's a couple more, but I just thought I'd have fun giving you that information.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, I mean, just so you know, the first chapter in my book is, and it's the most important one for me, is that relationship is a spiritual practice. So, yes, number seven is kind of my thing.
Yeah, and your book
you
says
know.
50 ways, and, of course, the five is definitely something that you're attracted to normally. So when you go into relationships, you say it's a spiritual practice. So is that what we're doing? I mean, what is the purpose of relationships?
Well, the way I mean that, I don't mean it's like, you know, you go to relationships, you can go to church together. What I mean in my spiritual practice is that it's an opportunity to become more of ourselves. That the true, for me, what spirituality is being fully present in who we are as authentic beings on the planet. And a relationship is the best place to practice, understand that, to mirror your partner showing you that. So ideally, again, because not all relationships are like this, but ideally our relationships are places where we get to know who we are more powerfully than ever before. And it also includes the idea that we also cherish and worship that love that we have together. So it's a place of discipline, of worship, of service to each other. So it's all spiritual qualities that are resonant in a very human experience.
I wish I knew what that looked like.
Well,
I don't know what that looks like. I mean, I've heard it and I hear it, but I don't believe I've experienced that. I don't know what that looks
like.
Well,
one of the keys I would say off the bat is when in a relationship, the first thing is that when there is an upset, discord, or something like that, the first thing is not to start yelling at the other person or making
uh-huh.
them wrong or making yourself wrong. It's becoming clear, like, okay, what is up? What has been triggered? Why is there feeling here? And that
mm-hmm.
is a step in the direction of having ownership. Lisa Nichols, who's fairly well known in the West Coast, and she does a lot of work with the teens and stuff, but one of the things she talks about, which I love, is paraphrasing the work, but she says that basically relationships are like gifts wrapped in sandpaper,
mm-hmm.
which is a powerful statement because it's the implication that not all gifts are pretty and wonderful and safe. what ships often do for us is they polish us, they refine us, and they basically reveal to us more of who we are. And that's the gift of relationship. The challenge is that for a lot of people, they get to, and this is one of the things guys do because we are goal-oriented, we get the goal, we're done. That's it. I'm like, no, relationships are more than that. So the trick is, as a male, masculine male, is in a relationship, is to keep setting up next step goals, new levels, which is the deepening of the relationship to the next milestone or the next thing to do, because we are always growing, always evolving. There isn't a stopping point to say, okay, we're done now, we've got everything we need, we're happy, let's just be complacent for the rest of our lives.
So if you're in that point, so you're in a relationship and you've got to that level and it's not growing anymore, then what?
Well, it's a choice. If you're aware, first of all, that you're not growing and you want to, you could pick your partner up, which may be possible, may not be possible. If it's something you both recognize, that's great, because you then can say, okay, then how do we take the relationship to the next level? What do we need to do now? Whether it's to read books or go to retreats, or just go out in the world and do things that express who you are more fully. You could be going adventuring around the world. But if one partner is growing and one partner is not, that's when it's likely to be a separation or an ending. Because the thing is, it's I believe, and I could maybe proven wrong on this, but I believe it's impossible for an intimate relationship to thrive when one person is growing and one person is not. It's almost impossible because there's no support.
No,
there.
I don't think it is. Yeah.
Well,
and
so,
when you're at that point, the person who's thriving would have to leave, I'm assuming.
Yeah. I talk about the analogy of like rubber band in relationships, is that when we get in a relationship, there's a tension between us. There's connection. It's the intimacy that we have in connection. Over time, if one of the partners does start growing, there's an extra pressure on the relationship because you're pulling the rubber band apart. And when it happens, one of three things can happen. Either the person who is, if one person is growing, one person is not, one of three things can happen. Either the person that's growing says, you know what, I value my partnership more than I value my growth. I'll give up growing and go back to be complacent, which some people have.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's the second level is there's a, sorry, trying to get one thing at the same time. The second part is that the tension's so great, the person who hasn't grown goes, hang on a second, I don't lose this person, I want to grow. Then it continues further forward. And then tension comes off the grower band and the relationship grows. The third option, which is the least preferred in a way, is that one relationship, one person grows, the other person doesn't, there's a break in the rubber band, and the relationship ends. So
that makes complete sense to me as well.
Good. I'm glad.
That is perfect. But that's so true. It's such an easy way to think about it, but it makes complete sense. Wow. Okay. Did you need to get that? I hear something's going on with you. I can actually take a caller. I have Missy on the line. Can I welcome Missy?
Sure.
Let's see if they pull Missy on. Is Missy there?
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Hi.
So you wanted? Are you? Do you have a question, or do you just want me to go with your birthday? Do you have a particular question for me or Barry? Or
I wanted to know about my love life and whatever you feel. Anything else that you maybe spare?
Is there somebody in your life right now? Is there somebody you're involved with?
There's nobody that I'm involved with. I have a romantic interest, but I really haven't spoke with him, so it doesn't. I mean, I'm open to, you know, whatever.
Okay. Well, I did not. I just have your first name.
Sure.
But I do want to give you a little information, which was interesting that I was kind of talking to with Barry. But,
sure.
Your life path is a 7, so spirituality is a big, huge part of who you are.
Okay.
Are you into anything? And spirituality can be a realm of so many different things, but it's also the psychic teacher. So, and your birth number is a 9, so that's another large part of who you are, and that's humanitarian, Are you, do you ever feel the need? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, you know what? I want to just make sure, because I got a 6 for the life path, but I could have done that completely wrong. did you get June 18th, 1980?
Yes, let me, I'll go back
but
and check.
But if you did, you know what you're doing. I don't, so.
Oh,
I mean,
no, maybe you're absolutely correct. I typed it in. I'm making you a lot younger than you are. So you
well, that's good.
1990, I put 1990. 1980.
Oh.
Yeah, so your life path is a 6. And the 6 is the family, the mother, the person who takes care of everyone, the mother of all.
Mm-hmm.
You're the service number, so I don't know what you're doing for a living, but you're the person that usually touches, takes care of, caretaker, and any of it, the counselor, the artist. Your birth number is still the 9 because that's the day you were born on. So, and that's a humanitarian. So you kind of have two numbers in your life that are actually pull you to caring and taking care of people.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
For your further career, like Barry was saying, what would be a really good thing for you because you do have those two parts. If you are interested in going out and being humanitarian or volunteering somewhere or finding something that's good to your heart, because I think that would be definitely somewhere where you would meet somebody that would be special to you.
Okay.
Is that something you do normally or?
I haven't went out and done anything, you know. I've always wanted to be a therapist,
mm-hmm.
But like over the last 2 years, I feel like I've been awakening spiritually also. So, I was thinking of like intuitive life coaching.
Right.
But, you know, just I'm not 100% sure yet, but I feel like I'm going down that road.
Well, actually, the 6 is the teacher. So that's somebody who would definitely work well for you. And the 9 is the humanitarian. It's like your the last number. So it's more evolved. It's a compassionate teacher. You teach unconditional love. You're very generous.
Mm-hmm.
It's still this both of those numbers for you would work perfectly for doing that. So I think that would be a really great thing for you to pursue.
Okay.
So I think that it would be perfect. I'm sure that that was a little bit different than, of course, your love life that we're talking about. But definitely, I think you should pursue that.
Yeah,
and
go
ahead.
That's cool. Okay. No, I'm listening to you.
Well, what I want to tell you is this. It's very important. Your name is very, very important. So whatever you choose for your name as far as business goes is going to set you up for either success or failure. So make sure what I want you to do is I want you to email me your ideas of what name that your full name that represents you. So email me that. And then email me some ideas on some business names that you'd like to pursue.
Okay.
And then I will help you with those. Okay. And you just email it at Kelly. That's KELLY@soulsignalradio.com. And then if you send soulsignalradio.com.
Okay.
And if you get someone that you're interested in and you're wondering if you are a compatible match with them, you can send me that information as well, and I will let you know if that's a good match for you.
Sure.
Okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Missy, and you have a wonderful evening. Thank you,
you too.
For stopping by.
Thank you.
Barry, are you there?
I am still here, yes.
Okay, wonderful. Well, what I wanted you to do for me and for our guests is can you please share what special programs you have and packages that you'd like to offer our callers or listeners?
Certainly. Well, I mentioned the book several times, so let's start with that. Start with my website. It's easier than anything. My website is basically after my brand, which is thepassionconsultant.com. So thepassionconsultant.com is my website. And then if they do /book, they'll get to my page where my book is on sale. I download it from there. It's a digital download right now. It's an e-book. I've been asked to do an audio book, but that's going to be a month or two away yet. I do offer coaching programs, or packages rather. Hang on a second, I'm just going to cough. Excuse me. Sorry, I'm just recovering from a cold, so these coughs sneak up on me once in a while.
Okay.
I do offer coaching programs, and right now I am inviting your listeners, your audience, if they wish to, they can have a complimentary consult with me. If they go to my website and click on the word consult, or they can look it on the, they can type in thepassionconsultant.com/consult. I'm offering a 20-minute consult to anybody who's looking for coaching, because I want to make sure they and I both know we want to work together.
Wonderful. Okay, so and you broke up just a little bit. So it's thepassionconsultant.com.
thepassionconsultant.com is my main site. And again, /book is where my book is on sale. And then also /consult if they complimentary consult with me. I do have a bunch of stuff on the site too. They can browse around. If they can, just the website itself, there's a link to a video series they can get for free.
Okay.
Which are three keys. Three keys to getting the love you really want.
And that's a free download?
Not a free download. It's on the website. So they basically sign up and they'll get the three videos sent, one each day.
Oh, okay.
And give them the keys. So it's all right there.
And you talk a lot about passion. What does that word mean to you?
Oh, so many things. Truthfully, his passion is about how we live life. And it's not about necessarily being exuberant. It's about the fire in the heart, about being truly aligned to who we are and what we're about. And for some of us, it's a passion to go live our passion and purpose in the world in a big way. But relationships, it's about really making relationship a valued part of our lives. And it's about that joy and celebration and the love that we have that fuels everything. So passion has different flavors depending on how you use it. It's not just for the bedroom.
Right. I always say that I'm passionate about everything I do, and I just have to figure out the relationship part, and we'll be good.
We'll talk.
And I'm definitely going to get your consulting, so we're going to have to work together, okay?
I like the idea, yes.
Well, thank you so much, Barry. It's been a pleasure, and I do hope you join me again in the future, because I'm sure we'll have a lot of people emailing me. Emailing me wanting me to come back and so we can talk some more. So thank you so much, and I hope everybody gets to go to your website and gets to work with you. And thank you so much, Barry. Have a wonderful evening.
My pleasure. Thank you. Thank you, Kelly.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to the Numerology Matchmaker. I'll be here next Thursday night, so make sure you tune in. If you miss any shows, check us out on the archives at soulsignalradio.com. And if you stay tuned, I'm actually going to stay on hold, and I will be sharing the airwaves with Lita Hamilton on her show. So if you any callers want to go ahead and call in and get a reading, I'd be glad to do those for you. And thank you for joining us.
You've been listening to the Numerology Matchmaker with your host, Kelly Logan, on Soul Signal Radio. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to join Kelly again next Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another hour of great radio. Soul Signal Radio, sending out a beacon of love and light to hearts everywhere.